Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. It's 9 o'clock on a Friday, so it's where we get into our Richards of the Week. I don't know if you guys saw this, but my Richard of the Week goes to this atrocious, atrocious Richard of a youth basketball league. It went viral. There was a team. There were young kids. One of the teams was coming back in a fast break, which means there had already been a play that went down the court. The play develops. The guy misses the shot. The other team rebounds. They go down the court. On this relay, or on this fast break, the coach for the opposing team is still on the court, pulling the bench off the court. Kid runs right into him, ruins the play. How are you still on the court? How are you taking that much time? And get your Richard ass off the floor. These kids ran down the court. Kid ran into the bench. And the guy just stood there like, well, what do you want me to do?
Why was there a bench on the court?
Because they do that now where they have these things where they can move them out onto the court and they can put it there and they can all sit down and listen to the coach.
What age is this?
Probably youth. I don't know. It was like either not even AAU. It was just youth sports. It was it wasn't even anything even more professional. And it's on Twitter, and you know, the kid runs into him. I don't know if you've seen the video.
I'll play it
for you
yet
when you go into yours. But look, man, it takes, you get a 30-second timeout or a 60-second timeout. After it's over, everybody gets up, goes for it, take the bench off. He clearly did this on purpose. He clearly stalled. That he's either what's the quote from Casino? You're either in on it or you're too dumb to realize what's going on. Either way, you got to go. This guy, the way that he did this, I mean, it's just, it's an absolute it's atrocious.
Why didn't the referee stop the game, though, until the bench was cleared off the court?
Anybody thought this guy would take this long. And it's literally like a lift and go, right? It's like a backyard patio furniture.
Yeah.
Lift it up, walk
over.
And he's just lollygagging, taking his time. Fast break goes down. Kids hit him. It's like, dude, like even the kids are like, what are you doing? Like, we're younger than you by 25 years, and we know you're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean,
Richard of the Week.
Yeah, you got it. You can't jeopardize kids, man, by doing stuff like that. Nathan, do you have a Richard of the Week? Mine's going to take a little bit here.
Well,
so.
Yeah, no. Oh, gosh.
By the way, they just announced anniversaries for February, so stay on tune.
Okay.
Okay. We could get another one soon. Yeah, we'll keep you posted. Mm-hmm. My Richard of the Week comes from Springfield, Missouri, where a man got ding-dong ditched by 4 teenagers. Have you guys seen this?
No.
They rang his doorbell, started to run away, and I guess the guy opened the door or looked out his window or something. Uh-huh. They go back to the house. They ring the doorbell again. He leaves the house with a gun. He fires a gun in the air, gets in a car, and follows the kids away in their car. They reach a dead end, and he holds them at gunpoint and takes their car from them and steals the car and runs off.
Springfield, Florida, the Midwest.
Oh, absolutely. Did a lot of ding-dong ditching. I never got held at gunpoint for doing so.
No, you don't do that. But anymore, man, like,
here's the video. Like, what is that guy
doing? He's just standing out there taking his, like, lollygagging around
They've already done a play, and then just...
Yeah, but why is the bench in the middle of the floor like that anyway? Like, what's it doing out there? Why was it just by the sideline where it should be?
And he's not Waka Flocka.
No, that guy's just taking his time and doing his thing out there. All right.
Hard in the paint.
My Richard of the Week is actually a lady, so it would be a Richard Ett, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. of the week, or as my friend, my mother's friend was named after her father, Lou. She was Lou Ett, so Richard Ett, maybe, I guess.
Is this your Karen of the Week?
Well, I
don't want to make fun of Karens, though, like, yeah. of the name of people, because like, I know a Karen who's a sweetheart. I don't want to make fun of those names.
So I took my daughter the other day to get her nails done, Richard. Right? But Richard, right? Yeah.
But I mean, it's the...
Yeah,
bit.
Of course. Yeah. So I don't think anybody's offended by that if they are tough. I took my daughter to get her nails done yesterday, Wednesday. Okay. Dropped her off. She goes in. She says, Dad, I'm done. Come get me. So I pull up, go get her, you know, and I get out of the car to go in because I didn't know if I was going to have to pay and or however the deal is. Right. Because God forbid, you know. So I get out of the car and the car next to me is running. And I'm like, oh, this car's running. And I look in and I see two baby seats in there. Like, and I'm talking the ones that still are facing back. So these are like newborns.
And they're occupied.
Both car seats are occupied. Two television sets on the thing, and the kids are watching this. Cars all locked up. Mm. Cars running. Two babies in the car. So I go inside, and I said, is this somebody's green Kia with the Missouri license plates out here? And nobody really answered. I go, anybody have this Kia out here with the Missouri license plates? There's two kids in the car. And this woman stands up. She goes, they're fine. They're mine. They're good. I go, no, they're not. I said, I'm a father. I would never do this. And I can't stand here and allow this to happen. What are you going to do about this? And she's like, they're fine. I go, they're not fine. And so she refuses to get up. So I go back outside the nail salon. I call a friend of ours, and I said, I need help. What do I do? She kind of walked me through what I should do, because this is a place my kids go all the time. My wife's there, all the regulars, you know, that kind of thing. I'm thinking, all right, what do I do here? So I talk to our friend, and then I go back inside, and I said, look, I said, this is your last opportunity. I said, either you go out there and take care of these kids and get them out of that car, or I'm calling the police. And so she finally stands up. I mean, you say what you want about her. Finally stands up, shows me her finger with foil on top of it. I'm only getting my nails done. It's not that long. I go, it doesn't matter how long it is. Get out to the car. Or I said, I'm calling the cops. And so she finally begrudgingly goes out to the car and gets in the car. Okay, fine. So I drive away. As we're driving away, my daughter says to me, she just got out of the car and went back inside the nail salon. I called the cops. And I think that was the right thing to do. I don't care about how long you're going to be inside. These are infants. These are newborns. And you are such a lowlife that you left your kids locked in a car so you could get your nails done?
I mean, apparently they need to get done. Man, she still had foil on her finger.
Well, and the gall to say, hey, I'm only doing this activity, and it's like one that takes like half an hour.
Oh, it's a good hour. It's
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, like, you weren't just running into a gas station. Not that you should ever
do leave
that.
Your kids in the car. Ever do something
Holy
like
cow.
That.
I think you waited too long to call the police.
I was visibly shaken, though. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, you're the Richard waiting too long to call. Come on, Bob.
I mean, like, I wanted to give the woman the opportunity. Like, look, if you're going to go, oh, my God, you're right. I totally messed that up. You're 100% right. Let me go get my kids. She wanted to fight me about her kids being locked, infants being locked in this car. And so the cops, I guess, showed up. I, you know, I'm not going to wait around. It's not my, you know, deal to sit to make sure the, you know, the police do their thing. But I called them. I said, you guys got to go investigate this. Like, we're already on our way. What are parents doing? I mean,
yeah,
there's
kids.
A lot of people that should not be parents. And if you're going to lock your kids in a car while you're getting your nails did, you're high on that list.
From the 816, good on you, Bob. Take the day off. You can in about 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, honestly, shit at their own hands. Don't even care.
I thought about busting out the window at one point, too.
You just call the cops, man.
I did. And yeah. That's what I did, you know. But I mean, my first instinct was, oh, my God, there's kids in this car. There are two babies in this car. What do I do? So that's why I went back, because the restaurant next door was closed. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those breakfast joints. And so I just figured, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to ask. And I was going to go down to every building on that, see whose kids are in this car.
No one's mad at you on the text line.
Good.
Everyone says, great move. Right move. Way to go, Bob. Yeah. As a dad of daughters, I think that's the right decision.
Like, I gave her the opportunity. I gave her the benefit of the doubt to go take care of the business so we didn't have to get the cops involved. And then she goes back inside the salon. Screw you, lady.
Regina of the week is what the text line says.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Because, yeah.
No, I get that one. Okay. You don't need to explain.
I can't explain this. We talked about McDonald's earlier. McDonald's on February 10th has a new menu item. It is called the Angel Reese Special. It's a quarter pounder with barbecue and bacon on it. And the toy it comes with is a brick. That's a joke. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, your home for the roundtable every Friday at 9:17. We're a little late. That's okay. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. We're joined by Matt McMullen. You get tired of this, or you just keep living in the moment?
Can you believe we're doing this
no.
again?
God,
I mean, it's
no.
one of those things Bob and I were just talking about, yeah. that there's the expectation. Like, we knew what this team could achieve, mm-hmm. and all year we talked about getting back to the Super Bowl, but to be in the Super Bowl, like, yeah. it's real now. It's pretty cool.
This sucks, because now Andy Reid's never going to win Coach of the Year, because now he has to win a three-peat just to win Coach of the Year. Which he was shocked, by the way. He didn't even know he was announced or a finalist yesterday.
He should be shocked, because
you could have been making that up. I don't know, but yeah, that's I guess that's cool. Like, whatever.
Maybe he will win it this year. How about if he doesn't, I cash that ticket, huh?
I mean, I would have been like, you should have bet more.
I know. I put $5 on Andy Reid to win Coach of the Year at the beginning of the year, right? $255 it pays if I win. But I just said he's always a long shot. But I mean, I kind of knew where this season was going to go. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but they said a year ago, we want to go for three. Well, who's going to stop them, right? That's their minds made up. They're going for three. And that's the beauty of this team.
And it's one thing to expect to win, but think about the team that we had in training camp with Coach Reid mm-hmm. and the team that ended up getting to this point.
That's right.
You lose Rashee Rice. You lose Hollywood Brown for most of the year. Mm-hmm. You lose Isaiah Pacheco for most of the year. All these injuries that pile up. You're playing a first place schedule and getting everyone's best shot. And you still go 15-2, get the one seed on Christmas. And for some reason, he doesn't get really considered for Coach of the Year. That's it has fine. To be a team that was bad or wasn't expected to win.
Right.
Doesn't make sense to me, because Coach Reid is doing the hardest thing. It's sustaining success
mm-hmm.
in the NFL and doesn't get enough credit for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I look at the trickle-down effect. Like, you look at Dan Campbell, deservingly so, a couple years ago, took Detroit from the bottom of the pit to the top of the mountain.
Sure.
You're not expected to go 15-2, let alone 15-1 with your starters after winning two Super Bowls and everyone's out to get you, yet, well, they didn't win enough games. They didn't blow enough people out. 15-1, and the board's up there. You've done it. You beat all the good teams. I get the postseason's not in there, but like, if you're going to be fair and say you're doing something that's not expected, you have the biggest target on your back. You have everybody wanting to be you, and yet it's still 15-1.
And I say this all the time, like, the NFL, more than any other league, is built on parity. Mm-hmm. It's designed so that every single city and team has a chance. That's why it's cool when you see, like, the worst to first teams in divisions. But the Chiefs have found a way mm-hmm. to be consistently good for a decade. Not supposed to be this way.
It's
and
not.
Coach Reid is one of the primary reasons and just doesn't get enough credit for
it. Well, he's taken for granted. I just think so many people look at Andy Reid and they go, he's going to roll out of bed and win you 10 games every year. It's what he does. That's not the way you need to look at it, though. People need to look at it and go, oh, my God, Andy Reid has found the cheat code, however you want to describe it, to winning in the National Football League consistently. Because you're right, the ebbs and flows with the NFL. You're good, and then you come back down. Then you get back up, and then you come back down. this team went up, and now it's just continuing to, like, the, you know, the yodeler in the old Price is Right. Like, it just continues to go up with this. And the more that they win, the more impressive it is. And it needs to be celebrated that way. But yet people want to say some guy named Bobby Slowicki should be coach of the year, or Ben Johnson, or whatever losers out there that they're going to give the coach of the year award to that's not named Andy Reid. Like, I just don't get it. What Andy's doing is magical, and it's the hardest thing that anybody's ever done in the NFL.
I think it's cool as well to look back on his career, and I've said this with you guys before, that a lot of coaches, like, they have their system or their thing, or they latch on to a couple of players, and that's where the success comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But Coach Reid won with Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia with a completely different scheme.
Yep.
Go back and look at that offense. A little bit different than what we see now. One with Alex Smith, one with Matt Moore here in Kansas City, one with Chad Henne in the playoffs, and of course with Patrick Mahomes. He just finds a way to put his players in the best position to win. That's the best thing you can ever say about a coach. And a lot of great coaches in history weren't necessarily great at that.
Right.
They just had a lot of things that worked out well for him. Coach Reid is, I think, the best of all time about putting his players in the best position to win.
It's a system that we talked about with Andy, and we can move on throughout the other things and the storylines that are, you know, the week before, but it's interesting with Andy, because I was talking to friends about this, is that, like, number one, you have to buy in and you have to understand it. Cause, like, I don't know if you know this story, but myself and Kling have both been caught leaning at practice.
Uh-oh.
And I found out the hard way, right? Sydney walks over and he's like, "Hey, they don't lean. You don't lean. That's Andy Reid's rule." It's like, damn, this is serious. Like, this is, they get media people for this too. And, like, if you don't buy into this, then you don't get to advance. And I compared Andy Reid's system to, like, an IKEA set. Like, you get the directions, you get all this complicated stuff, but if you piece it together and get yourself in the right position and put everything where it needs to be, by the end of it, it's this beautiful built, whatever it is, playgrounds, whatever you're building. And that's the process. You have, it starts in St. Joe. It goes from, like, team building to suffering in massive amounts of heat to then getting to the preseason, then starting the regular season, staying quiet, know your role, do your job. And then all of a sudden you're playing for a third consecutive Super Bowl. And it's like, yeah, it's complex. And it doesn't start off like, you know, squares, circles, and triangles. It's a lot of hard stuff. But if you put it together and you put the work in, the outcome is so great. And some don't last, and some don't get to be a part of this system. We saw Tyreek Hill leave. Three Super Bowls since. How you doing? Right? And it's a we, not a me sort of mentality.
I'm imagining you leaning at training camp, and then it's Mitch brutal. Pops out of nowhere. He's like, "Dusty, you got to stay focused, man."
Dude,
you're not focused.
It was crazy. I was just like leaning there. She walked up. She goes, "I'm going to need you not to lean." I was like, is she being serious? And, like, all the other people that have done, like, Vi and all these other guys around me, they're like, "Yeah, dude. Sorry.
I told,
like, why did you say something?"
I told
everybody's got to learn.
The best part of that story is when Josh did it. And before practice ended, I had a text from Pioli going, "What did Josh do?" I'm like, "Oh my God, how did Scott Pioli know this?" Like, that's how quickly we're traveled out of that practice, like, and Josh is in trouble. And then, yeah, this guy, but that, those are the things, like, it's the little things that equate to all of this big stuff. And that's why, you know, the referee narrative and whatnot, just, it gets so tiring, because you're not giving credit to these guys. Like Nazi Johnson yesterday talking about, we knew where Josh Allen was going to run. He does it every time. 10 times out of 10, he runs to the left side on those quarterback sneaks on our right side. So we were ready for him. The block field goal. Like, all of this is coaching. It's not dumb luck that the Chiefs are just better than everybody else. Every detail is focused on and talked about and discussed. And it seems like these guys are ready for everything, and more so ready than the other team is, you know?
So it was my dad's birthday last night. I went on his birthday, birthday dinner with him. And he asked me, "What do you think makes the Chiefs different? Like, how do the Chiefs keep doing it?" And the answer, I think, is simple. It's situational football. And it gets back to what you're saying. It's preparation for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's being ready and prepared for any situation, and the moment not being too big. And you're right, with the block field goal against the Broncos earlier this year, it's very easy to look at that and say, "Oh, that's just luck." It's not. It's scouting. It's mm-hmm. preparation. It's practice. It's identifying
execution.
Tendencies.
Yeah.
And it's executing in the moment.
Right.
It's not just luck. It doesn't just happen. And we've seen that all year long with this team in various moments and various situations. It's really cool. And to see the Chiefs execute at the highest level in the AFC Championship game against the Bills, who we all agree are a very good team mm-hmm. and a hungry team that wanted that game badly, to execute the way that they did in all of the major situations throughout the game is so cool. And on both sides of the ball, in all three phases,
yeah.
the Chiefs won that game. So, yeah, we could talk forever about the preparation of this team, but it's why they're in this moment every single year, it seems like.
How old's your dad?
He is 66.
Wow, nice. Look at that.
It's Mike Caliendo year.
Shout out to Matt's dad for being 66. Shout out to my friend Brad, turning 70 today, too. So a lot of people getting old.
And Rob Alberino's birthday was yesterday as well.
Oh, it was? I didn't know that. I was texting him yesterday, too. Rob Alberino, the genius behind 65 Toss Power Trap, you know? Happy birthday, Rob.
Yep. I'll reply all to that. Shout out. happy birthday, Rob Brinton, as well. So we move on from head coach to quarterback, because those are the two most important things in any game. It's insane to me that the audio that came out of Patrick Mahomes being on the stage last year talking to Chris Jones, maybe it's, you know, spur of the moment. I know he was asked yesterday in the press conference, but to celebrate your back-to-back victory and to think that you're that big of a competitive prick, not my words, but somebody else's, and to be told that to another person, I mean, confetti, kid, wife, Taylor Swift, Chris Jones, hey, this is cool. Let's go win a three-peat, and you're actually doing it and in the process of doing it is just bizarre to me.
He's so mindful of legacy and history.
That's like getting the best Christmas gift you ever got, and you're already like, let's see what next Christmas brings.
I mean, when I heard that a year ago, I'm like, they're going for the third straight Super Bowl. They're going to be there. Like, I guarantee you they're going to be there, because you are right. Like, that right there, what you just said about Patrick, he is mindful of all that. He understands, and he wants to be the best.
And he knows how difficult it is to get there as well. Like, he's willing to put in the work. And what I think is so cool about the last year is that was almost a calendar year ago that moment happened. Mm-hmm. And, like, of course, we all want the Chiefs to win three in a row. But he was saying it in that moment and deciding, here's how we're going to get there.
Yeah, he was thinking about it. Yeah.
Think of all the work that they put in. So the Chiefs are coming off the two back-to-back shortest off seasons in NFL history because of how the league is expanded by a game, the Super Bowl's later, you start your training camp earlier because you won the Super Bowl and because you play on Thursday night. So the Chiefs are coming off the two shortest off seasons in NFL history. They're going to be tired, but they don't care. They dive into OTAs like they're a team trying to win their first division. They don't act like they're, you know, complacent or anything. They attack the entire offseason program, attack training camp. Again, like we were saying earlier, they get everyone's best shot all year long while playing a first-place schedule. They win 15 games, win the division for the ninth straight year, make the playoffs for a 10th straight year, get the one seed, beat the Texans, beat the Bills, and now they're back in this moment.
Right.
Not easy.
It's not.
Took months and a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifices.
A lot of calls. Yeah.
But they get back in this moment, man, and
but
it's cool.
It's interesting. I was driving in today, listening to Ben, right, and they were talking about my Buckeyes winning 11 days ago the national championship. And I'm like, 11 days have already gone by, and all these dudes are, like, right back to work. Like, people don't understand. You win that championship, and yeah, it seems like you're celebrating, but we're like a month away now, 6 weeks away from the start of the league year. Like, it's going to be here before we know it. And the other teams, and I hate to use this because it's lame, but all 30 other teams already are in that offseason mode. They're already getting the opportunity to prepare for the offseason. The Eagles and Chiefs obviously are still playing. A lot of these teams got a month and a half jump start on everybody else for the offseason, yet the Kansas City Chiefs still maintain their self on top. And I think that's impressive, too.
What's also cool, though, is that the Chiefs have entire people and departments dedicated to preparing for 2 years from now while the team is playing. So you guys obviously know Mike Borgonzi, GM of the Titans. I'm so happy for him because Mike is like the absolute best and incredible at what he does. And I talked to him.
Why did he go to Tennessee?
I mean, it's going to be an awesome opportunity for him, I think. But I talked to him at the Combine a couple of years ago, and it's amazing that they are working on next year's draft already. Not this year's draft, next year's draft already. They have scouts all over the country who are meeting with players or watching these games. People that fans, they don't know their names, but they're the ones that are finding the players that are getting us to these Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And the sacrifices made by those people is just astounding. Like, they don't see their families for months at a time, but they have the satisfaction of when Jalen Watson or Isaiah Pacheco, a player who's maybe not a first-round pick, makes a play in the Super Bowl. There it is. But when those players make a play in the Super Bowl, they're like, I found that guy, you know? But they don't care about it for themselves. It's for the team.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's just a long way of saying that the Chiefs have these amazing people that you never know their names, but they are doing incredible work, and they're doing it right now, getting ready for next year.
Yeah, somewhere Binkley just jumped into a cold tub because they're talking draft next year already,
Binkley texted me yesterday just like euphoric, like, man, how you feeling? I'm like, I feel great, Dink. How do you feel?
I was going to say, that's the best part to send back. I don't know, man. How are you feeling?
Yeah, you all right, Jay? Hey, what's going to be the storyline in New Orleans this week? Last year, we had the bad facilities. The year before that was the grass. Like, is there going to be some stupid storyline this year?
I just want it to be a great Super Bowl between two great teams. That's what I want. And
that's
I know
a great response.
I know people maybe don't want that nationally, but that's what it should be because this is what the Super Bowl is all about. It's because the Eagles deserve the same credit. They've fought all year to get to this moment, and it's an awesome opportunity for both teams to compete for a championship. That's what it should be about, not any other stuff.
But it's Saquon's birthday on next Sunday. I do want to ask you this, and this is a personal question for me. Like, this is my first time ever experiencing this. I'll be there. What's your process? What advice do you give me? And like, how's the whole week kind of play out from that perspective for you?
Yeah, it's to enjoy it. And to embrace it because, yeah, I'm very fortunate. I can't believe I'm saying this, that this will be the fourth Super Bowl that I've attended. I didn't go to 55 because of all the COVID restrictions, but I've been to the other ones. Mm-hmm. And the first one, 54, looking back at it, I don't know if I enjoyed it very much, which sounds kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Like retroactively I did, but in the moment, I think I was so caught up in the craziness of it all. Like the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl and got to make sure I'm doing all these things that are part of my job that I think I was just stressed the whole time. And I don't know if I really, truly enjoyed it. Well, 57, I went into it thinking, I'm going to make sure I have fun and enjoy this because it's the Super Bowl and this is the whole point. And I had a blast and we won, which obviously helped as well. And then last year, kind of the same mentality. So that would be my advice is just to enjoy it and not to get too stressed out about all the stuff going on because it is crazy and there's a lot of distractions going on, but just have fun because this is what it's all about. We got into sports for a reason and we're going to be at the Super Bowl.
Do you bring anything back with you? Do you get like souvenirs? Do you get confetti? Do you try, like, how do you, I mean, I know you get a hat if they win in a shirt and all that sort of stuff. That's kind of just part of the job. But like, is there anything else outside of that?
It's a lot of confetti.
Yeah. Because
we've been fortunate enough to win these games. And photos. So that's the one thing I realized.
Do you have like a shrine in the McMillan house? Like,
You got to make sure you're taking pictures.
So I didn't do that the first year. I hardly have any photos from Super Bowl 54. Mm. 57 and 58. On the field afterward, I made sure I just took like selfies with people.
Of course.
As many pictures as I could but you're going to kind of black out, you know? And then afterward, if we win and afterward, you're like, I didn't get any photos. I don't even know who I talked to. So yeah, just get photos. Try to remember everything because, you know, we're lucky this is happening to us as many times as it has. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, I believe we're the first team in NFL history to go to 5 Super Bowls in 6 seasons.
Yes. Yep.
This doesn't happen. It's never happened before. So we have a lot of chances to enjoy this, so make sure you enjoy it.
Yeah, you have to, and that's the thing. And, you know, I'll talk to you all guys as we get ready to head down there about, you know, kind of expectations and what
to do. Dad's our tour guide over here.
I've never the only one that I did with the Chiefs was Miami, right? And then the COVID stuff happened. Then West Coast, we're not going to be out there 3 in the morning doing a radio show type stuff, you know? So I'm excited to go back. I love New Orleans as a host city. I think it is the best host city in the United States for the Super Bowl. I think it's the best host city for the Final Four as well. I think they do an unbelievable job. It's a small town. It's manageable. Everything's there. It's going to be outstanding. But you do have to step back for a minute and realize what we're about to witness on Sunday, a week from Sunday, when, you know, we go into that stadium. Life can change for a lot of people. I mean, in a big way. It's no longer, is he the best, could be the best. You are the best when you win 3 in a row. And I'm talking Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Sunday at about 9:00, the entire historical landscape of the NFL could potentially be changed for greatness.
And it's pretty cool. We'll be there. And we get to see it and we're a part of it. I'm with you. And even when the game begins, consider this. So Mahomes is starting his 5th Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Only 3 quarterbacks in NFL history have started 5 Super Bowls, including Mahomes. Tom Brady, obviously, but he was 34. When he started his 5th Super Bowl. And John Elway was 38. Mm. So just take a moment to think about what we're witnessing here in Kansas City. Our quarterback is starting his 5th Super Bowl in 7 seasons as a starter, and he's 29 years old. Usually teams that go on runs like this are near the end because it's an aging roster and the quarterback is going out for one last ride. Mahomes is like entering his prime, And he has a chance to win his fourth Super Bowl and lead the Chiefs to a third straight as he's starting his fifth. It's just crazy
stuff. And the beauty about that, too, is we talked about it the other day. There's only seven dudes on this roster that were here in Miami for that first Super Bowl. And two of them are the kicker and the long snapper. You know, it's like, oh, my God. Like, so it's not like they've had the same group together and this is the last ride. Like, they have just constantly changed over that roster.
What a testament to Brett Veach. I mean, it's just absolutely phenomenal and incredible that you can have a Super Bowl champion and there's no drop off. And you churn the roster, make the team better, and get back to the Super Bowl for 3 years in a row. I mean, that just does not happen. Gets back to what I was saying earlier about the parity in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The whole point is that if you win the Super Bowl, you pick last in the first round.
Yeah.
And also, you're going to have some good players that you're not going to be able to afford because there's a salary cap. They're going to go elsewhere and help other teams. The Chiefs have found a way to sustain this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just incredible. And even before Mahomes was here, to go to the playoffs every single year, to win the division in 2016, 17. I mean, I don't know. We just can't take it for granted because really, in the history of sports, this kind of run has only happened a couple of times. And to happen now, because I'm not discounting what like the Steelers did or even what the 49ers did in the 80s and 90s, but it was a different landscape back then where there wasn't as much parity. There wasn't as many distractions. To do it now in this day and age is just incredible.
I want to bring this up real quick because we're going to get out of here, but let's look at the Eagles side. What, outside of Saquon Barkley, what's notable that we need to look forward to in this week coming forward?
Well, their defense is excellent. So they allowed the fewest offensive points in the NFL this year, number one pass defense in the NFL. So they'll be a challenge defensively for sure. The good news is that Coach Reed and Mahomes have 2 weeks to prepare for these guys, and I'm excited to see what their game plan is. Another thing I'd say is the turnover battle is important yet again, and it's always important, but it's been kind of funny. In these playoff games that we've had against these certain teams, it's been particularly significant because Houston, Buffalo, and Philadelphia all thrive off takeaways. I think Philadelphia has the second most takeaway points in the NFL this year, and they also had the second most drives that began in opponent territory this year, many of which because of takeaways. So you can't give a team like Philadelphia, who wants to play ball control and run the ball all day, can't give them opportunities, like extra opportunities. And they're plus 10 in the giveaway takeaway in the postseason.
What?
Yeah, the Commanders.
They gave away four turnovers.
They scored 28 points off turnovers against the Commanders alone.
Yeah.
They scored 41 points off turnovers during this postseason run. That's like almost half of their total.
That's insane.
They're really good. Don't give them extra opportunities.
Right.
And that's what the Commanders did. That's what the Rams did. That's what the Packers did. Don't do that if you're the Chiefs.
You mentioned the game plan that Andy's going to come up with. And we were talking about it earlier. I'm kind of excited to see how Saquon Barkley does not become a story because everybody's going to tell you Saquon's going to be good. They'll bottle him up like Derrick Henry. And then offensively, I don't think Jalen Carter is going to be a factor in this game because of Andy Reid. I think they're going to scheme so much to stay away from that guy in this game.
I really hope you're right. Well, I hope you're speaking that into existence.
That's what they're working on right now. I do have a trivia question for you guys. So the Chiefs allowed one 100-yard rusher this year. Do you know who it was?
This year.
One 100-yard rusher.
Not a quarterback.
It is a quarterback.
Oh, it is a quarterback.
Lamar.
Yeah. Week one.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs didn't allow a single running back to go over 100 yards rushing this year. That's a key. Do that again against Saquon. Won't be easy, but they've shown they could do it.
The Chiefs will lose the game if Saquon gets 100. They'll win the game if Jalen Hurts has 100.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out. What's interesting is like we can talk about this game so much, and we will. There's going to be things that happen that no one expected.
Right.
That's how it always goes.
Yeah. Like we were talking earlier, like Dusty's like, I hope we have a blowout. I'm like, yeah, I do too. I'd just love this thing to be over, but I have a feeling it's going overtime.
I know what your prediction will be, though.
35-0.
I was joking around with Mitch when you guys were doing your predictions for the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
You had like kind of a long dissertation about like, it's going to be tough and the Bills are going to get theirs and all this. And you're like, I have the Chiefs winning though, 35-0.
I was laughing out loud. It was hilarious.
Well, hey man, safe travels down there. We'll run into you and say hi and maybe do some of this again on Radio Row. But again, thanks for the time and we'll see you in New Orleans.
Yeah, anytime. I'll be available down there if you guys want to chat.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Just come on by. We'll get in contact with you. Everybody's got your number. So
cool.
Again, thanks for the time, Matt.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you. Matt McMullen here from the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. And also don't forget the big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, final segment in Kansas City for a week, and then we're off. Wheels up. I'm so scared of flying. I know, I need to get over it. They're doing the Instagram videos out there.
Didn't we do those yesterday?
Yeah, but they're different than ours. Because one of them says, I guess one of their questions is, who would you rather hang out with in New Orleans, Bob or Dusty?
Well, they're all younger. They're probably, I mean, I would say you too.
Well, you two wasn't an option.
You as well?
Oh. I mean, Bob, what? Yeah. That's a band I never, you know how you don't have any sort of like liking toward the Eagles or the band? I'm that way with U2. I don't know what it is. Like, I respect the Joshua Tree, but I never really got into U2's music.
Yeah.
By the way, Cody said you.
Oh, wow.
He said, if you hung out with me, he's afraid you'd get arrested. Do people like think I'm just going to go down there and just like paint the town red and just like shirtless and run wild?
Yeah, I don't think, I think people do kind of have that like solution, but expectation for you. But I think I got to be honest, and I think it's okay to say this. Mm-hmm. Anybody does anything stupid is going to be Mac. Ooh.
Why? Because he's young?
Yeah, I like, I don't know how many, like, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. Okay. But I think if anybody does anything stupid, it's going to be Mac. I do. But I don't think any of us are good. We're, you know, like, you're adults. You're people think, like, we're going down there and we're just going to be a Pat O'Brien's getting smashed on hurricanes for 17 days. Like,
yes.
This is a...
we're not?
No. It is like
it's a people, business trip. Yeah,
no, but I don't use that. But, like, yeah. Like, when you do the hours that we do, right? Sure. Like, it's a grind. It's a lot. And, like, a lot of the stuff that happens long after we're done. And so like the day goes from like 4:30 in the morning when we get up to Monday night, we're probably not gonna get to bed to midnight. Right.
Sweet.
And so, because there's so much going on and then it's up again and I don't function well without sleep. So, so this is one of those things like you've got to pace yourself. You've got to, you know, get
stay
it done
focused.
Because this is it. This is the biggest event of the year. This is the biggest Super Bowl game that we've ever seen, that the world has ever seen. And I'm not being hyperbolic, Bob. It is. A team is going for a three-peat. There's never been a bigger game ever in Super Bowl history.
I mean, and could there be, like, is it possible to have a bigger game in Kansas City Chiefs history, like, even going forward? Like,
I don't know. It's a great question, because if they win three, and then we're going for a four-peat next year, and they get back to the Super Bowl next year looking to win four in a row.
But it seems like house money at that point because they've broken the record.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question.
I think as it gets late into next week, the nerves, the anxiety, and the excitement are going to set in harder than it ever has before.
Yeah, I think you're kind of right about that. And like, I'm not nervous now. I feel great right now. Mm-hmm. But I know this time next Friday when we're wrapping up our final show on Radio Row, then getting ready to hit Pat O'Brien's and have ourselves a time.
Mm.
I will be. It's Saturday. I'll probably be, you know, we got some things we got to do Saturday. Have some fun on Saturday. That's a good night to have fun. And then probably Sunday, like I was last Sunday, like a week ago Sunday, man. And I still really, like, my stomach still hasn't recovered. I'm still constipated. But I think, like, I had no appetite. I had no, like, I wanted to puke all last Sunday getting ready for that AFC Championship game because it was the biggest game in the history of Arrowhead Stadium. It was the biggest game in the history of the Chiefs, right?
I'm saying, because normally games don't make you nervous, and that one did.
Because I want it so bad.
Yeah.
And this is the playoffs now. This isn't the regular season where so what, whatever happens, it doesn't matter. It does matter now.
Yeah, there's too
and
much on the line.
There's so, and like for the first game, it was that Saturday afternoon against Houston. You know, I'm not going to be whatever, fine. Oh, AFC Championship game against Buffalo at home for a chance to go to the Super Bowl for the third consecutive year. I mean, there's so much on the line. I don't want to lose this game. And so I was like sick all day. Oh, my God. Because I just thought the refs were going to try to mess it up and all that kind of stuff. Finally got over that, you know, hung out in the parking lot for a little bit, took care of the nerves. And then you go in, they win the game and everything's good. But now, like, we get down there, it'll be fun. And then as you get later in the week, you're starting to think, okay, reality's setting in now. This is giant. Mm-hmm. Like, we get to be there, okay? We're very fortunate that we get to be there to cover this and bring it back to Kansas City for everybody else. And I never lose sight of that because I always know how many people would love to be in our shoes and have the opportunity to do what we're doing, and people experience it all through us. And we kind of are the voice, obviously, for a lot of people now in Kansas City. And people are listening, they're tuned in, they want to know what's going to happen, they want to know what's going on. And we have that opportunity to paint that picture and be part of this. And I never take that lightly. And if they win this third Super Bowl and we're on the field and they're winning this third Super Bowl, like, I'm kind of getting emotional right now. Like,
are you going to cry?
I'm kidding.
I might, depending on, you know, who I see.
Mac's going to cry.
I mean, like,
Mac will cry his eyes out.
I mean, but that's what sports
that's fine.
Is about.
You guys all have tears
that's
in your
emotion.
Eyes if they win that game.
Of course I will.
Including
like
you, Dusty.
Years ago, I've taken off the quote-unquote journalism hat. I'm not a journalist. I don't play one on TV. I don't play one on the radio. I'm a talk show host. I give my opinions. I'm a fan. And I want to experience it and be able to feel and be like every other fan out there. And if they win this third one, like it's not to the point where you're numb to it. Everyone is better than the next. And if they win this third Super Bowl and we're able to experience that and be on the field and celebrate that third Super Bowl, holy crap, man. Holy crap. That's all
testament.
I got to say, man.
Yeah, no, it's a testament to all of you three, though, as well. Bobby, been around doing this for many years on the station. And heck, you were one of the voices, one of the famous sound clips of the bad times in this town.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows about the rant that went semi-viral, at least locally viral. And I mean, people still, like, I'll be listening to some random talk show sometime and it'll come up. Like, Dusty, you've grinded so long here at the station. Mac's been, you know, just grinding hard. He's been a great addition. Everyone loves Mac. Like, you guys deserve this as well.
Appreciate
so
that.
You got to keep that in mind as well. Of like, I've worked so hard to get here, and like, this is the fruit of that.
But it's, see, it's I'm not really Cam cool Newton. Thing. I never look at it that way. I'm like, how do we make the best show? Like, I've been thinking all week, and like, how do we make it the best opportunity for the fans to enjoy what we're going to do? And we're going to feed Dusty all kinds of random food.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, and but, record it.
Yeah, and put it on video. And we're going to go in front of the Manning's house and do stuff or spin
Thank
the
you
Mississippi
for that wonderful
River.
Message, by the way, I appreciate that.
Like,
it's, that will actually probably go through my head a little bit. Of just like, look where I was, look where I'm at.
Yeah.
And soak that all in.
You got to keep that in perspective. 100%.
And then I'll kiss Bob on the face.
Yeah. And great. And that's what it should be. Like, this is a moment for us all. This is a moment for Kansas City. This is a moment for history. And we get to be there and be part of that. And Monday will be slow. And then as the week picks up and everything starts to get going, it's going to speed like a freight train. Like, this week went very fast. I can't believe how fast this week went, to be honest with you. Next week, times two, times five, probably.
I feel like you might have been worried this week was going to drag a bit.
I thought so, because it usually does that week between the Super Bowl and the championship game. Because there's, I mean, what's going on? You know, you look outside. This looks like January right now, right? Thank God. It's over today. Chiefs again get us through to the end of the month. You look outside, not a lot going on, not a lot of sports going on right now, and you're just like, okay, I figured this week would just kind of drag, thinking about all the stuff I got to do to get ready and all this kind of stuff, but it has flown by, and before you know it, we're going to be back, and the Super Bowl is going to be over. We're like, oh my God, it went so fast, and you want to enjoy those moments. You want to savor those moments, because I tell people, you don't know if we're ever going to be back here again. This could be the last time we ever get back to the Super Bowl. You've got to approach and enjoy everyone like it's its own, and if you don't, you're missing out.
What are your Super Bowl plans? You already have them? Do you have like a, because we did this yesterday where we were talking about, you know, do you have like a thing that you have to do every year, or is it just different?
It's different. Well, in the last couple of years I've been at the station, so, you know, I obviously won't be able to partake in any, like, you know, drinking or heavy partying or anything the night
been
before
there.
Right, because I'm going to be, you know, blessed with the opportunity to be in here all next week, and then until you guys get back as well.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way.
I'm honored. Just girlfriend and I have some friends, watch party, going to keep it really simple, really low key. Yeah, and I'm going to be locked in on this game like I never have before.
Right.
Don't talk to me. I'm going to say things and scream that you like didn't know could come out of me, but I can't wait.
Yeah, I'll go downstairs.
How long have you been dating your girlfriend?
It's almost a year. This will be our first Super Bowl.
Your first Super Bowl. Okay.
Last week in the AFC Championship game was the first time she's seen me get real.
I was going to say, has she seen this before, right? Like, has she seen you get fired up? And she's like, okay, I got to break up with this guy, even though he's a wonderful human being, and you are, and I love you to death. But, like, you make a fool in front of your girlfriend that first time. She's like, okay, got to go.
I think she can stomach my Chiefs game person. Like, I think she's good. I think we're good.
Okay. How big is she into the football.
She couldn't care less. Okay. She's happy Taylor Swift is getting the run.
It's a great relationship.
So, yes. Yeah,
she it's like
wants
my wife and I
see her on TV.
Love
yeah,
sports.
It's great.
I couldn't care less. You know, it's perfect. You got to have that opposite. Opposites attract, kid.
Speaking of opposites, you have baseball coming to your radio on Saturday as opposed to football. Vern's show, the Royals rally show, from 9 a.m. to noon here on 96.5 The Fan. Bobby Witt Jr. at 9:45 a.m. this Saturday. Jonathan India at 10. J.J. Piccolo at 10:45. Piccolo.
Just Piccolo'd him.
Yeah. Yeah, J.J. Piccolo at 10:45. Cole Reagans at 11. Matt Cotrero at 11:15. Nathan, thank you for everything. Thank you for everything next week. Thank you to the fans. Thank you to everybody that's been here. Thank you to Speck for the wonderful opportunity. Thanks to Bob for letting me come in and do this and for him to be nice to me and go do something nice to somebody out there. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay warm, stay dry. It's Cody Golden Drew coming up next from 10 to 2.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.